Hi, I'm Justine.
And I'm Sarah Lavon.
And we are so glad you're here.
We believe that your life has the potential to make a deep, meaningful impact on the world around you. You, as a nurse, have the ability to add value to every single person and patient you touch.
We want to inspire you with resources, education, and stories to support you to live your absolute best life, both in and outside of work.
But don't expect perfection over here. We're just here to have some conversations about anything birth, work, and life, trying to add some happy to your hour as we all grow together.
By nurses, for nurses, this is Happy Hour with Bundle Birth Nurses. Welcome back to season two of Happy Hour with Bundle Birth Nurses. If you didn't realize, we have been gone for a little bit. It feels like 1 second. To be honest with you, but we are back with season two and we have some fun plans for this season, which include really awesome guest speakers that we already have booked that we are excited to learn from and share with you. But for this first episode, it's always like, what do we do first? It feels like it needs to be, I don't know, like with a bang.
Climactic.
But what we wanted to do actually, so if you've been following along on social media, December and January were really like reflective months for the Bundle Birth team, especially Sarah. And in January, we had our 5-year anniversary of Bundle Birth and I got to attend as director of Bundle Birth Nurses. But it was a really great time to celebrate everyone that's been involved in the Bundle Birth journey. And it was really nice. I was very emotional. I like sobbed through my whatever speech I gave. But I was thinking it would be nice to share Bundle Birth history today with Sarah. So we're kind of going to interview Sarah a little bit. And someone had come up to us this weekend. We were at the A1 Leadership Conference and asked, like, how did you guys get started? And we realized that's not like super apparent maybe to some, especially if you just joined in or just started following. So how did we get started? Especially I know nurses are listening to this, so the Bundle Birth Nurses side or maybe the Bundle Birth side, because some of you might see Sarah and be like, ooh, labor coach, I want to do that. So we wanted to share a little bit about what was the catalyst for Sarah to start Bundle Birth. So Sarah, you were a labor nurse for a lot of years and you were in different roles. I know we talk about that. You were a staff nurse. You were a manager in a manager role. You were in a preceptor role. You were a peer mentor. You were in charge of childbirth education. So you had a lot of things and then you left. You want to share a little bit about your decision to leave the hospital?
Yeah, I think we can all relate with that nursing is not always the easiest. And I was at a place of burnout, to be honest, as a labor nurse. And then that's sort of what pulled me into more of a managerial role, which was totally unintentional. It was meant to be temporary. But the person who had a baby never came back. And so I was like there until I quit my job, really. And so I think I had gotten to a place where I knew that something had to change. And I had done a lot in my career, which is kind of notoriously Sarah. I get bored pretty easily and I learn pretty quickly. So it was like, okay, what's next? Okay, what's next? But also, I felt like as a labor nurse, there was always more of me to offer. And then as a manager, I loved that role and having a team and building them up and sort of seeing the ins and outs of how the hospital worked. But I also was like, oh, but like birth, like I felt really disconnected. And so I felt like there was nothing that really was able to celebrate or bring all of my giftings together. And then I've said this a million times, but I felt like there was so much change that I had so many ideas of how to like help the world of birth and what families needed before and during and after. And I had all these ideas, which were all just shot down, to say it lightly. And my energy was annoying to the hospital. So if I can be candid, I'm going to be half candid here. And so I just sort of got to a place where I felt like I had maximized my reach from the inside out. And the only option was from the outside in. I also had a conversation with my boss at the time, and I was pitching all these new ideas, and literally for free, I would have done them like under my regular salary. And I looked at her and sort of like, I was completely honest, but now looking back, I'm like, I'm sure it came across as sassy, but I looked at her and I was like, so basically what you're telling me you want me to do is come to work and go to meetings. And she laughed and was like, oh, well, yeah. And like answer some emails. And she was serious. And I like remember looking at her and walking out of there and calling a friend and being like, my soul will die here. And so I was at this place where I just felt unsatisfied and felt like there was more specifically for me. And one of the things I talk about, whether it be privately or publicly, and I'll say it here publicly, is that I just genuinely believe that everybody is here for a reason and everybody has their own unique skill sets. Me and Justine are very different. We're similar in a lot of ways, but we're also very different. And I'm very different than other people on my team. And I really believe that if we are able to embrace and just love the depths and the core of who we are and what our unique giftings are, that, and then live into those, that together we actually amplify each other and that there's so much to go around. And, you know, but easily we're like, well, I want to be like this person. I want to be like this person. And I remember just being like in that moment, like, I know who I am and I know what I can offer and I know I can offer something and I don't think it's here. And so, very long story short, I quit my job on a whim. That conversation happened middle of September of 2017, and I officially quit October 17th, 2017, and just said, based, you know, there was a lot of hurt and a lot of, I felt like betrayal that happened along the way that sort of pushed me over the edge. And, you know, just sort of having given my life to the hospital and realizing that, like, no one's got your back. No one really cares about you. That, like, I am truly a number, no matter how talented I am. And I remember saying, I will never work for anyone again. And there's actually a picture I found as I started where, like, I was not happy when I left. It was a hard ending. And I remember that fire being under me to be like, nope, this has to work, because I'm going to have to pave my own way. And so I started with childbirth education. That's what I knew. I also had always said, like, knock on wood, if I ever lost my nursing license, I'd be a doula, because I, like, loved that relationship. And I was like, easy, I'll start there. That's how I'll pay my bills and sort of hold my hands open. There was a very monumental conversation I had with this architect interior designer couple in LA that I will never forget. It was my very first private VBAC class, and she asked for my slides, which I had put together all these specialty classes for my hospital, and then just was like, I want to do it different. So I, you know, obviously some of the content's going to be the same because, like, birth is birth, but put together my classes throughout the course of a couple of months, started a YouTube channel. I'd, like, Googled and been like, where do pregnant people go? And, like, YouTube. So, and then I saw my competition, quote unquote, on there. And I was like, oh, I have some personality to offer here and some background and some, you know, creativity here. So I decided I was going to put out a few YouTube videos, mostly selfishly, to be able to send my patients when they ask me the same thing over and over again. Like, how many times can you explain when to go to the hospital? Like, shoot me in the head. I cannot tell you one more time. So it was totally selfish that I put this YouTube channel together and was like, these are the questions they're going to ask me. And so I want to have these videos that I can send them and be like, okay, and then we'll follow up with questions. So that's really where YouTube got started. And then I put together my classes, started teaching here and there, like, by teaching, like, we're talking like once, like, to build up a client base and find people who are going to pay you and entrust you with that private class. And in LA, it's a little bit more open to that because they're used to more private things. Did this VBAC class, and she asked for my slides, and I said, like, no, you know, that's like my IP. It's not copywritten yet. And, like, you know, I don't really want it floating around. And she looked at me and she goes, let me just tell you something, Sarah. And I needed this so bad. Really having been, like, in the dirt and in the mud of, like, uncertainty and overwhelm and starting a business. I always say too, like, I've done multiple business interviews and I'm like, I'm a nurse. Like, do we take any business classes? And I have my bachelor's, but we didn't take one business class in nursing school. Like, I literally know nothing. ROI, like, what the heck is that? You know, return on investment, like, all this business talk, like, I'm so clueless. And still to this day, I'm like, I'm a nurse. I'm not a business person. Mind you, the 5 years in, like, I can say confidently, like, I'm very much an entrepreneur, but I've had to learn and teach myself so much. And so I bought a bunch of books and I rented a bunch of books from the library, and I just dug my head in and just had my hands open, understanding that I truly knew nothing. And so I got to this place with this client, and she looked at me and she goes, the magic of this class is you. No one can steal who you are. And she said, lead with who you are and not the knowledge you have. And I remember being like, huh, okay, that's, like, good advice. And then she said, the best business advice I've ever gotten is let your business grow organically. And how many times, Justine, have you heard me say that? Like, a million across times. The years? Yeah. But I didn't know what it meant. And what it means for me now, I totally get, is that, like, it's this idea of flex and flow, of have your idea and push towards a goal, but like take the one step forward towards it and then hold your hand very loosely to that. Because if you're not paying attention to the trends or to just the like signs of something else, or to where your heart's at or where your passion's at, what you care about or what other people are telling you in theme, you are going to miss it. It's easy to lock in. I wanted a brick and mortar. Like I imagined a like physical location in LA that was like a center for all things birth. And thank God that's not where we've gone. You know, we've gone a million other ways. And so, you know, there were so many pivotal conversations, relationships, and people that were there along the way. But I will say that like getting started not only was scary, but like was truly terrifying. I luckily had been debt free for a few years and worked very hard to get there. I went to private school and my family comes from a missionary background. So like not money. And so got there, but then I had a safety net of savings, but I bled to zero. And there was a time when I was going to, like, somebody gave me a Costco membership for my birthday. And I remember being like, this is the gift that keeps on giving, because I can go and like eat samples. Like that's how dire it got. The number of meltdowns on my floor and being like, this makes no sense. Like I'm looking at my bank account and being like, I just think I'm supposed to be here. Like, I really think I'm supposed to be here, but like, where are the clients? Where's the money? Where's the impact? Where's like my place? And it, you know, early on, especially say social media, even like I was working, I worked probably like 12 to 18 hour days consistently for 3.5 years.
Isn't there like a funny meme about that where it's like, I quit so I can work on my own, you know, yes. So you have to work less, but really when you get your own company, you work so much more.
24/7. Yeah. Your brain never turns off. Like if you're actually talking about like what's going on in your brain as work, it has been truly like a skill that I'm still trying to develop to turn off my brain. And so, you know, I think that it's easy to look at people's success, especially now, and go like, wow, yeah, like, but not understand the struggle and the number of times I knew where every per diem job was in LA. And I got to a place, I remember it was the crossroads where like I looked at my bank account and had like full blown meltdown and just was like, God, this makes no sense. Like I really truly believe in my knower that this is where I'm supposed to be, but like nothing is reflecting of that. Like, where are they? There's so many families I could help, or like, you know, and like I was thinking at some point, my dream was to like pay rent with YouTube ad money, which at one point, very, very small period of my life, we actually did. Now that's not the case. And that took, you know, 3.5 years of posting a video a week. I edited my own videos for 1.5 years. And then someone came along and did it for free for me for 1 year before I could pay him, you know? So I think recognizing like, I did not get here alone, and we'll talk about meeting Justine in a second, but that it, like, this has been truly the most excruciating process of my life. And that consistent, like what I would say when people are like, what does it take to start a business? I'm like, it takes so much grit and so much resilience and so much belief in what you're called to, and sacrifice, because luckily, like for us, COVID came around, which like forced us to be able to have a whole lot more free time at home to work. But, you know, I like to really get all the pieces in play and all the million components it takes to run a business, and then start thinking legal and protection and copyright and, you know, background and payroll and HR and all of those things we have in play now. But that has taken a solid 5 years, and that has cost so much money. You know, and they say, I remember reading something early on, like, if you can make it 2 years in a business, like, you're probably going to be like, there's a chance you'll make it. Like most businesses fail in the first 2 years. And if you make it to 5, like you have longevity and like, you're not going anywhere. And so here we are 5 years in, and I like get emotional thinking about it, because I remember there were so many times thinking back and being like, there's no way I'm going to make it. There's no way I'm going to be back in the hospital, which is fine. But for me personally, and who I am and what I have to offer the world, I just felt like there was something different for me, that I was called to something different. And so, you know, as far as what it takes a whole lot of conviction and a whole lot of willingness to truly like give. And I don't think everybody had to do that, but I feel like I did. I had to give everything up, you know, in my mind. And that was my own personal life, my own mental health, my own, like, you know, boundaries in my relationships, dating, friendships. I've lost a lot of friendships along the way. So, it's not for the faint of heart, but mind you, the reward has been what's pushed me on. And now to be able to offer jobs and employment to people that are passionate and need an outlet to share who they are with the world, or even, and it doesn't even have to be with the world, but like with one other in a different format, you know, or impact outcomes in a different way, or whatever it may be, that for me is probably the biggest thrill of where we're at now. Mind you, Justine, how did you come to be in the Bundleberg Nurses side?
So yeah, I have a very similar story of Sarah to the point of, like, I told my husband my soul's gonna die one day. I realized early on that nurses were the gatekeepers of experiences, and I was getting frustrated with patients not being able to choose what they wanted to do in regards to their body and their birth, or being discouraged to have preferences or plans. And so I decided I wanted to do childbirth ed, and I went to a class, ICEA. ICEA is the class that we really like here at Bundleberg. If you want to get childbirth education under your belt, went to a class, started an Instagram like everyone does for childbirth and labor nurse side, and then quickly found Sarah and just like felt really drawn to reach out and connect with her. And then long story short, we met and she let me spend the night at her house the first day we met, and we dreamed up what a change would look like. And we have written on her whiteboard in the office of, you know, nurses that
having renewed passion and energy for L&D and families with a culture shift in nursing with active RNs who own their care, own underlined.
And I think we're doing that.
I think so too.
Like, it's really cool. Crazy. And so one wonderful thing about Bundleberg has been, there's no red tape. Like, the red tape is Sarah, and I can pretty much convince her if I really am into it. So
sometimes she has to work very hard.
Yeah. And so, like, physiologic birth wasn't ever supposed to be online, and I melted her from not going, you know, keeping that in person. And now we look at that and we're like, how could we ever do that still in person and have the same reach? There's just no way. Yeah. And so, yeah, so I was able to join the team.
Well, and let me jump in here, because I was at a place in doing patient education and really building out and feeling like things were picking up. YouTube was never like, I even to this day, I don't consider myself a YouTuber. And I have the plaque on the wall, like, you know, and so that piece for me was just sort of out of a sense internally of like, when in doubt, just keep posting on YouTube, just keep going on YouTube. And that's brought me a whole lot of sales that started to help pay my bills and help me not to have to know where all the per diem jobs were in the hospital anymore by that reach and that marketing through YouTube. But I, you know, I was educating, and then I'd hear these people that, like, I took your class and then I got to the hospital and these nurses were crabby about it. They were anti everything I had to say. And I felt so disempowered. And mind you, pause, in the hospital, most of my nursing or in the hospital, a lot of the education that I was doing was for nurses as a peer mentor. And even as a childbirth educator, like, we'd have to make sure we're all on the same page. And so that passion of mine had never not existed. And I sort of had envisioned training doulas before I'd ever get in with nurses. Now looking back, I'm like, well, duh, nurses, I am a nurse. Like, that makes sense that, like, we would go that direction. But I had always had this passion and this, like, and had seen the impact of them showing up to the hospital and feeling just like flattened by the nursing team and being like, this is really where the difference can happen, but not really imagining that we would have any influence in that way. And so when I met Justine, it was like, I met someone with the same heart and the same drive, the same passion that gets it, that I have been saying to, I'm like, I was entirely alone at that point on my team, but like, to like anybody that I would talk to about what I'm seeing in the birth world. And it was like this synergy and this kindred spiritness in our viewpoints and our hearts for the world of birth that, and I was at a place where, like, I could not take on one more thing by myself, like, maxed to my eyeballs, which I've been now for years, and we keep building out ways to, like, try to free me up. And now I'm feeling like I work out and I, like, make coffee in the morning and I meditate and I, like, have some routines that I've never had before in the last 5 years, actually probably in my life. But we had met and it was this connection piece. And so when I'm looking for someone, like, you know, you stalked me and got into my corner, but I really believe that everyone has something to offer this space. And it's a matter of what I'm learning as CEO now is sort of this resource management and resource stewardship of those that I have around me, and really like learning your staff and learning like what they're good at and not trying to force something that they're not good at. And if they're not good at it, somebody else is, you know, and sort of, I really think that that's been a way that we've been able to grow, really seeing potential and seeing passion and, knowing that I'm also an extrovert and that I like energy wise, like I could never do it alone. And so we, and I had been building this practice of physiologic birth as a doula or a birth coach. I call myself a birth coach, not a doula publicly for legal reasons. And I was just like, there's a lot that's happening that I'm seeing now that my hands are tied as a nurse. I can't up the pit. I can't call the doctor. I can't, you know, talk him into an AROM, you know, which I was used to medical management of care. Instead, this physiology focus and also learning what patients wanted and how empowering it feels, even just approaching from a physiology perspective, done all this reading and training and like had developed this practice that I'm like, this could shift nursing. And it really is probably a piece of what was needed. And then we found CMQCC and their guidelines for supporting vaginal birth. And it was like, oh, well, there's actually research that proves that this is a way to help impact outcomes. So that's where physiologic birth started. And that was sort of our first in of like a way to work together practically, because it, as you know, from a business perspective, it's hard to pay you for Instagram, like as a hobby, you know, but to pay you for actual work or leading to, now Instagram is very much part of your job and you do get paid for that. But back in the day, it was like, but where are we sending them to like actually build revenue so that I could pay you to be a part of this company? And so that was a slow process, but eventually we got there.
Yes. I think it was October 2020. I think this will be 3 years.
That was when you
became
started.
Official. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Became official.
Yeah. Cause we were like just done with like, feel like filming foundations for mentorship.
Yeah.
And so that leads us to our mentorship history, which was,
yikes.
So we were, I was like Sarah said, we were trying to find my place and I just had Nathaniel and it was COVID had hit and you were in Minnesota and I was here in like postpartum world and we were meeting regularly to like, what are we going to do? And you came up with this idea of these nurses need doulas and it
That's
just
it started.
Trickled. And,
well, and I will say publicly that I was at a place where I felt like we were at a crossroads in business where like I had focused so much on the patient side. We had this training, but we didn't know what to do with it. It was wildly successful for a first training, but like where do we go next? And there's so much need, but how do we package it in a way that like really connects with people? And we had said, you know, even before the nurses need doulas, like was what like it landed for me in my head. And that does happen to me a good amount where like I'll be mulling, input. And then like, bam, I see it. And like the vision is there. That's, you know, I think a job of a CEO. And I think also what has helped our organization, because you do need a visionary in an organization. And so like eventually we saw it, but we had said, remember we talked about a nursing residency, like just how nurses are trained is not standardized. It's, you know, all over the place. Some people get 6 months, some people get 2 weeks, you know, and everything in between on average, probably about 16 weeks is on average. But like, is that enough? No, people are coming out so not empowered and their preceptorship is all over the place. There's very little standardization for that. And so what would we have wanted was really where it started. And ultimately I remember thinking like, we need a doula. And what do I do for my clients? I empower them. I build confidence. I help fill in knowledge gaps along the way. And I build them up and I provide a safe environment for learning that they can just be present in their bodies and in their experience. And then also totally involved in the process and then become like stronger and better because of it. And so in adapting those, that sort of mindset to it, that's sort of where mentorship was birthed from.
You know, I was thinking too, we were talking to some people this weekend, again, at the leadership conference for A1. And some experienced nurses were talking about how there's been like a lost art to labor and birth in general. And I think that's due to our shortened orientations and then also our increase in acuity of our patients. And so of course, like we're going to lose that art to birth and labor. And a lot of mentorship does do that. And it like brings you back to that and teaches you that, which I love.
I'm also going to add, I think that like systems wide, I think there's a huge focus on money, which I get. I mean, I'm a for-profit organization. Like I need money to run this place and hire and build out programs and pay people to help. Like we are actually currently at a limit as far as growth until we figure out some new ways to use our resources. And by resources, meaning hire help, because you know, it does limit you. So I want to give lots of grace and understanding to the hospital system, but we also have to understand that they are an organization as much as many are nonprofit, like money is the bottom line. And so how do they save money is on staffing and on new information. And we need more data on this. So let me throw an audit at you. Let me give you one more thing to do without removing and creating space for you to hold space for your patients. That's a whole nother episode, I think. We've said that so many times. We should go through and be like, ooh, that's an episode.
Right. That's so true. So mentorship, we decided to sell before we created it. Don't do that, people.
Yes. Don't do it. It is a model. I had done it through a birth coaching program that I wrote for clients. It's an 8-session process where I had one client that it was like, all right, before the next session, I got to have session 2 ready for you. And so I knew it could work, but that piece, So what we did was we put together the main topics of what we would want to learn as new nurses, and everything from, I'm going to go through it really fast, foundations, which is like everything you need to know before you actually get started, therapeutic communication, all like the baseline stuff, patient education, coping with labor, shared decision making, physiologic birth, bereavement, breastfeeding, trauma-informed care, all the scary stuff. So high-risk nursing, fetal monitoring, baby or newborn, high-risk newborn, and then like wrap up with all the things, including launch and leading change on your unit. So those are the modules or the classes that you get through our mentorship program. But if you think about it, we have said, and we will continue to say, because I just think it's the funniest thing that like when we planned it, we're like, yeah, like a 50-minute class for each one. Whereas like, there's nothing that's 50 minutes. There are modules that are 50 minutes. Like,
yeah, if you've taken mentorship, you're laughing right now.
Right. Like there's 85 modules through the whole process. And the whole process, I believe is a dream come true for us in our gift to new nurses and even experienced nurses. But, you know, we were like, yeah, we can knock it out in a year. And I remember looking at you and being like, Justine, this will be the hardest year of our lives. If we do this and commit to it, this will be the hardest year of our lives. But we just have to stick to it. And if we commit, like we have to. And that what we did was we launched it, we sold it without having any content written or filmed or put together.
Nothing.
And by the time it started a month later, we had to have a whole new class written, edited, filmed, edited of that with a workbook. I think our shortest workbook is probably like 14 pages, but we have like 40-page workbooks that go along with it, you know, that supplement your learning. And then on the site, all the logistics ready to go every single month for a year. I look at the program, I'm like, what would this program should have taken us 5 to 6 years to put together. And we did it in a year. Thanks to COVID, to be honest, because we were also all at home and there was no distraction of social life, which would have been my downfall. And, but that was truly the hardest year of our lives. And to date in business, the hardest year for me.
And I remember foundations, and I remember I wrote the first, what I thought was the vision for the first class, and you lovingly ripped it apart the first time. I remember getting off. Do you remember that? I remember getting off the call just like crying, like,
no,
not in a bad way, just overwhelmed, right? Like an overwhelmed cry of like, but we have to film this like tomorrow. It's terrible. You know, like, so it was like that pressure that whole time. But man, beauty came out of it. And like you said, it's really great. It's everything we wanted.
Well, and for me, like if we're going to film something and put something out into the world and actually charge money for it, like there has to be overwhelming value. And that's why they got so long and why we did not sleep for an entire year and both gained like 30 pounds and, more you know, and
for me.
I don't actually know, probably like 35, 40. You know, we look very different from beginning to end. And
very different.
But that to me was like sort of a piece of the puzzle, that it was survival mode and we knew there was a finish line. But if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. Like, I'm going to do breastfeeding right. You're going to get close-ups of a nipple with manual expression, you know, or we're going to call in the Yale MD, JD attorney to teach shared decision making from a legal perspective, or we're going to call in the best perinatal therapist to teach you trauma-informed care that's been doing it for a long time. Like, you know, and so that required us to travel. It required us not to sleep. It required, remember the meltdown that we had that I had for scary stuff?
No, well, yeah, but remember, like, even the breastfeeding workbook up north, like, oh at God. Midnight?
Yes. And it being launched at midnight and us sitting in our beds. I have a picture of it, actually, of us sitting in our beds and being like, oh boy, this is not even close to being done. I think that was the only, but I will say that was the only one we pushed out like 6 hours. And normally it launched at midnight and we launched at like 8 a.m. or something.
Yeah, I do feel like the cohort that was there with us, shout out to our MVPs, or OGs. Yeah. I feel like they didn't really know how on the wire it was. I feel like it was very seamless.
Oh, no. Yeah. So. The experience, I'm sure, was seamless, but for us, we about died the whole year. So anyway, the moral of the story truly is that was Justine's in, that like, once we had that project to work on together, it was like, oh, now there's a role here for you. And now like there could be income from this that could pay you a salary. And so we brought you on October 2020 and have never looked back, and you're going to die here. Okay.
Die here. also, okay. So then mentorship ended and we dreamed up Cancun, but I can't remember. Did we dream up Cancun after we ended or during, or?
I think it was during. I've always said, like, I wish nursing conferences were somewhere really cool so I could have the excuse to travel somewhere really amazing. But when I got my vacation club, so that's sort of how it started. I have this vacation club, which, by the way, if anyone wants to use it, you can use my vacation club. I get like a free night and you get a free night or something. I don't remember how it works, but either way, you can reach out and I'll let you know the information on it. And so I got this vacation club that was all to all these all inclusives. And I dreamt of a baby moon. That's how it started, that I was like, maybe I'll do like a childbirth class with couples and they can get their baby moon and their childbirth ed and help them connect. And I can create this whole experience. And then that very quickly kind of dwindled in terms of like, people, if they're going to go on a baby moon, they want to choose where they want to go and they don't want to do childbirth ed for it. Like, they can watch my class online while they're in their room at night. And so instead it was like, well, but nurses. And once we had this nursing community that was growing and engaged and like, we started talking about it, we're like, shoot, maybe we could do this. And up until then, everything was online. And so and our dream is not to not be in person, but logistically and from a business perspective, it is 500 times harder to do things in person than it is online. And especially through planning Cancun. Oh my God, I've never worked harder on anything. We will weep at the end of it in gratitude that we were able to pull it off, because it's a lot to do something in person, but also sort of like having established physiologic birth, having established this beautiful, immense program that is mentorship. It's like, what else is there? And every time I taught physiologic birth, I had this like internal guilt that it wasn't enough to really do it justice. And so there's this coping side that, one, we're not taught as nurses. We're taught the basics and we'll build on the basics in Cancun, but also like that if your patient isn't coping, the physiology won't work the same, that it all comes down to psyche and an ability to also just like understand along the way what might help you and pay attention to your sensations, etc. And so I'm so excited for this new content that is brewing and being put together as we speak for Cancun. And then also with the idea that, you know, through the pandemic and everything that we've done, one of the things that we talk about a lot internally is that we want to be love and light to you. And I hope you feel that. I hope you sense that in everything that we do. I hope that you feel grace also with an added truth. We say grace and truth a lot, that like, there's this, like, you work hard and we love you and you're doing your best and like, just do your best. It doesn't have to be perfect. And also the truth of like, but this isn't okay. And we need to change. And like, this particular practice is how you're going to do it in a very like loving, safe environment. And so through the pandemic, like realizing how brutal it's been for everyone. And nursing is brutal regardless. And then you add a pandemic onto it. And you also, there's limited resources in your hospitals and your poor managers have hundreds of nurses to care for. And so really the goal of Cancun being this idea of like, let's have a week to just make you and remind you of how special you are. And really our goal for you to walk away from Cancun is to feel not only equipped at the bedside with such new, invigorating, hands-on experiential learning, but also time to rest and connect. And then also walk away going like, whoa, somebody really does care. Somebody really is cheering me on, so that when you go back and maybe you are feeling alone, or maybe you are feeling disempowered, or fill in the blank, however you're feeling a little burnt out, that you can go, wait, but there's this whole beautiful community of nurses that are with me, for me. And they actually, there's evidence to prove. And that's really like, to be very candid, Cancun, I'm not expecting to make a profit. I intend to spend every dime that's brought in for that back into you. And obviously I need to pay my staff to be there. So that is a part of it, but I'm not trying to make money. This isn't a revenue producer for us. This is actually a break even. And so with that being understood, that like the entire point is to help you feel special and it to feel like, okay, someone cares and I can keep going. So, and I think, so all of that being said, I think culturally what has happened over the years is this identity has been built, and it's been fun to put words onto that and talk about our values, talk about what's important. And for me to be able to look back on the last 5 years and see the team built, we now have 9 employees. There's 5 mentors of those. I have an on-staff backup nurse, shout out to Sarah, who's just been like the most amazing backup birth coach for me. She occasionally takes her own clients and backs me up to allow me to have clients along the way. And we're learning all the time what that looks like. And we're holding our hands open to letting the business grow organically of like, what are the needs of today, to with the goal of just filling in the gaps of the system. And ultimately what's really become very clear is that, and we've said this on the very first episode, that your care that you give has the potential for really shifting the future of our world. And so we want to be a part of that, in supporting you to be your best. And then also not forgetting families, that like a part of what we do is care for families and empower families and make sure they're on the same page with you and help set them up to be easier on you, to be honest. So we all know what it's like when you have a really well-educated patient, you can just build off of everything they know and you're all speaking the same language. So what I dream of for the future is really like, we've said we want bundle birth to be a household name, but like the standardization across the board where hospital birth doesn't have to be scary. It can be empowering, and that we can confidently send people to the hospital from the bundle birth side and say, there are bundle birth nurses there that are going to receive you and treat you with dignity and respect and follow the process of shared decision-making, and that are equipped to offer the best care possible.
And that's happening slowly but surely. That's happening. Mm-hmm. I see that change. So one of my last questions for you, Sarah, is what would you say to the nurse that's listening to this of like, I want to work for them?
For us?
Yeah.
Think about where you fit in your own gifts and really do the deep dive and do the like internal journey. One of the things that came up at this A1 conference when we as a team kept talking about, what is leadership and what does the change look like and where like what's lacking. And I think what just keeps coming out is these soft skills, what we're calling them, the therapeutic communication, the stuff that's harder to learn. And so I'm looking for somebody that embodies the values that we truly live in our everyday life, in our every interaction. This isn't just a bundle birth thing, that like we live the like value that everybody's life matters and everybody has something to contribute. And we carry ourselves in a way in our regular everyday life. So I would look for somebody who is developing their own soft skills that represents the values of a bundle birth nurse and that has done the internal work enough to know where you fit or where you believe you fit. And part of our jobs as leaders in this industry, I would say, is to also help you develop those skills and help you recognize, like, I'm seeing this in you, and you go, whoa, that's helpful information. That's mentorship, right? And so know what you're passionate about, where you uniquely fit, and then figure out a way to make yourself fit here. And that, like, truly, we have people pitch us all the time of like, I want to do this for you. And, you know, I may not always say yes. Sometimes I do. Justine's the perfect example. But it has to fit with the mission and where we're going. And that doesn't mean that you don't belong here. I believe everyone belongs here in one way or another. But on the team, you know, especially as a small team, my job is to be protective of the culture and protective of and of stewarding my time, Justine's time, and the mission. It needs to be aligned. And so if you think you have something that aligns here, put together a pitch, come prepared, make it look pretty, because I do judge. And that is a value of mine, to be totally candid.
Pretty presentations.
Pretty presentation. There's Canva, guys. Canva is everything. It's very easy in Canva. You know, and we expect quality. I have high expectations for what we put out. And I hope you've seen that too. And so it doesn't have to be perfect, but that you've actually tried, and email us that you have an idea for us and we'll listen. You know, we may say yes, we may say no, we may say not now, but this organization is building and growing. And I think one of the things that starting this new year, I'm like, it's time to keep hiring. Mind you, that also includes continuing to sell and continuing to like have the money to pay people, because that is also a value of mine, that we pay people for their time. We don't, we think that your time is valuable and that who you are is valuable. And so it's important to me that you're paid and compensated for that. So that was a long-winded answer, but did that answer it enough for you? Do you agree that that's what you, do you agree that that's what I was going to say? Was that what you anticipated?
Yeah. Yeah, I anticipated that. And okay. Look, even when you said deep dive of our company. And if you see something that you're like, they don't have this and they could really do use this. I don't know what this is, but mm-hmm. be creative and be like, mm-hmm. I want to fill this need. We had someone recently come to mm-hmm. us and she is going to try to fill a need, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. So,
and we're excited about it, yeah. You know? So I really believe there's a place for everyone here. And that everyone holds value in your own gifts and skills. You know, and obviously I'm trying to manage that, like, I can't hire 50,000 of you, but there's potential and we are growing.
If you have any other questions based on our history or our company, reach out, email me. We can always do a second part of this episode, but we do want you to know like who we are and what we do. And it's just hard to like know exactly what your questions would be, but I hope this is a good little intro about like, who are these people and what is this company and what do you do in our hearts and mission? And I think Sarah, you really wrapped that up nicely. Thanks for spending your time with us during this episode of Happy Hour with Bundled Birth Nurses. If you like what you heard, it helps us if you subscribe, rate, leave a raving review, and share this episode with a friend. If you want more from us, head to bundledbirthnurses.com or follow us on Instagram or TikTok.
Now it's your turn to go and do that deep dive into who you are and what are your gifts and what are you passionate about and what about nursing do you love? What if you're not a nurse, what about life and birth do you love? And really identify those needs and think about where you fit in this culture change that we keep talking about or into the world of birth, into your own life, and how do you show up better in your world to continue to make a difference to those around you. We'll see you next time.